Welcome back to Daycare Diaries. I know I'm probably like a week or two. Dear Diary. life, you know, life and just, you know, working and running a business and just trying to stay, you know, afloat. Anybody who is running their own business definitely understands what I'm talking about. I will say, just to give myself some grace, I've gotten a little bit more patient. I do still get frustrated, but it's not as much. And when I do get frustrated, I let it go faster than I would have in the past. And so I'm really proud of myself for that. And I know sometimes, like, being a entrepreneur, it's hard because we think we're like superhuman. We don't take the time and say, you know, it's okay to feel bad about something, it's okay to hurt, it's okay to, you know, cry about it. It's, you know, you're human. You're not a superhero. You can cry. If it hurts, cry about it. And so I just want to say, on that note, like, if you're going through something and you feel like it's overwhelming, take your break and rest. If you need to cry about it, cry about it. If you need to close or not be open for a couple of days because you need some time, take it. But get back to it. Cry. Sit with it for a while. But then get up and get your business done. Do what you need to do. For the sake of avoiding burnout, mentally and physically. But before I get into, you know, all that stuff, I wanted to really come on and talk about the difference between orientation and training. It is Daycare Diaries. Like I said, I want to talk more about daycare stuff or business stuff than, you know, the mindset stuff. I talk more about the mindset stuff because I feel like it matters, especially when you're someone who is trying to run a business and you're wearing many hats. And so I want to be as encouraging as I can to people who don't have someone to tell them you can do it or don't give up, or they don't feel like they have people around them who are going through the same things. And that was me in the beginning. So summer enrollments, summer youth employees should be starting soon in some facilities in New York. And I was talking to someone and they asked me, you know, what's the difference? If you already did a training with one of your staff, isn't it the same as a training? Why do they have to do a orientation if they already did the training? And so I had to tell them that the difference between an orientation is that once an employee is taken into an organization, the person needs to be provided with an introduction. So the orientation kind of like refers to this initial introduction every employee receives. It serves as a, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a part of the recruitment and retention process. Orientation helps to develop job expectations and a positive attitude about the job role for the employee on the initial day. You get what I'm saying? So also, I think for me, a proper orientation would reduce a lot of question marks about what their job description is. It would reduce a lot of anxiety of the employee caused by entering like a new environment. I think it provides a lot of awareness, again, about what their role is. Training is the process of gaining knowledge. So training is ongoing. They can go through a number, for me at my facility, we have to complete, well, in New York for licensing purposes, and if you're part of Department of Education, you have to complete a certain amount of hours of training monthly. And so for training is the process of gaining knowledge, skills, and competence. And so that's the difference. Being either a new employee to a department or an existing employee in a company being transferred to a new role, he or she needs to be provided with training to an extent to comprehend the work area and the tasks to be carried out. So the training provides the employee with a more in-depth understanding on the work to be carried out. So, for example, I have a teacher's assistant and she's new to the field. She's never been a teacher assistant before. I do trainings with her. Well, we meet. I meet with my staff weekly. I do key performance indicator, which I learned from my one of my mentors. I do key performance indicator meetings. And in those meetings, I discuss things that we may need to work on the performance of the business. And based on that, that's how I find out what trainings we may need to do. Okay, so she wants to know about how to maybe teach literacy to children ages 2 to 4. Okay, here's a training on how to do that. She wouldn't know how because she's never done it. And so the training would provide her with the knowledge that she needs to perform the job. It also, I think that what happens too when you have consistent trainings, it improves the capability and the performance of the employee that you hired. I think it's motivating, especially when the person is feels confident now about what they're doing. Once they come in and they don't know, and I've seen this with staff in the past, they come in and they don't know something, and then they learn how to do it and they implement it and they see that it works. The excitement, even when they talk about it, it's like, oh yeah, today I did this thing that I learned in that training, and the kids were responding this way, or they were doing that when I said this, and it was so, and they want to continue to learn more ways of getting those type of results. And so I think training is very important. In my opinion, training is very important. And you can use various training methods, which are broadly classified under job training or off-job training. I know orientation and training provide an understanding into the company or process as that is relevant to your company. But the duration and the depth of the subject matter will always be different. Like I said, I have a daycare. If you don't have a daycare, it won't be. The trainings, like, we have to do them every month. You may have to do them every 3 months. How you choose to train your staff is always, in each field, may be different. And even if you're not in New York, my training is monthly in New York. Maybe Chicago or somewhere is twice a year. You guys may not have to have, don't have that hour requirement that we have. And I think, I feel as it that if when an employee gets a proper orientation, that it's a positive attitude toward the company and its functions. A proper training provides the employee with the understanding on the job role and its requirements, which will lead to a motivated employee and a motivated work environment. Less stress, less chaos, because everybody's on the same page. They know what they're doing. And so I hope that when you do your trainings or your orientation, I hope that you do an orientation. If you're thinking about hiring like interns or just summer youth staff, that you're doing orientation, and that the contents of your orientation are not, you know, they're brief, but common topics for all employees that all your employees need to know. And that your trainings can be outsourced to specialist trainers, depending on the requirement. Like, whereas for me, I have this, Doc for Tots. They have specific mental health training for teachers and to do that, to work with the children. And so that'll be something that an outsourced specialist that I would contact. But it would depend on the requirement. But make sure you have some systems in place. I've learned over time that systems and processes are important as well. And so in order to do these trainings and to train properly and to give the adequate orientation, you want to make sure that you have systems and processes in place that are helpful to your staff and your business. And make it easy for you. You shouldn't have to continuously you know, keep going over the same things and repeating yourself. If you find yourself repeating the same task or the same job to an employee, that means you need to dial back and redo your training or redo your presentation of your training in your orientation. Something didn't click. Do that KWL chart. Find out what they know and what they want to know and what they learned. Assess the situation and find a solution. That's just the way I'm going about it. I've been going about it. And so far it has worked. Another thing I wanted to say was, don't get distracted. So easy to get distracted nowadays. Do not get distracted. Don't get distracted. So easy. And when I say don't get distracted, I mean by not just social media. I mean by people and things. And you know them. We all know what things are sent to make us, to throw us off track or throw us off of what we're supposed to be doing. And sometimes we know this and we're like, well, maybe one day I'll go and I won't do something that I know I'm supposed to do. Or I'll skip a task this day. If you skip one day, tomorrow you're going to feel the same day. Then the next day. And then one day turns into two. Two turns into three. Three turns into four. Just stay on task. I know sometimes, and again, it sounds contradicting because in the beginning I'm like, no, if you need to rest, rest. Yes, if you need to take time and maybe go out, you do that. But what I'm saying is don't do it for so long that your business tanks. Take your time. Take your self-care. But then come back and get to business. And make sure your business is able to run too. So that concludes my little business talk. I also wanted to talk about some grants. I know you guys want to hear about some grants. All right, so I did find something about the 2024 grant fiscal year for grants. And I think this is it here, where it says Biden-Harris administration announces $80 million in funding available to develop, strengthen, scale, equitable pathways to good infrastructure jobs. And this is just in general, but there was something about daycare. Where is it? I thought I saved it. Let me just make sure. Bear with me. And I should have had it pulled up. Oh, I think this is it. Okay, the source is childcareaware.org. Funding for childcare and early learning in President Biden's fiscal year 2024 budget. On Thursday, March 9th, the White House released President Biden's fiscal year 24 budget request to Congress. Childcare Aware of America is pleased to see that the Biden-Harris administration continues to evaluate the need for greater support for the childcare sector. This budget builds upon the enacted federal appropriations of recent years with steady increase for early childhood education programs. Specifically, for fiscal year 2024, there's a proposed increase of $980 million for the Childcare and Development Block Grant, totaling $9 billion. Proposed funding for Head Start is increased by $1.1 billion for a total of $13.2 billion, with $575 million dedicated to increased compensation for Head Start teachers and staff. $575 million dedicated to increasing the compensation for Head Start teachers and staff. Let's go. Proposed funding for the Preschool Development Grant Birth through 5, PDG B through 5, is increased by $45 million for a total of $360 million. Also in the budget is a proposal for a $600 billion mandatory investment in childcare, universal preschool, and wage increases for Head Start teachers. The child care proposal includes $400 billion over several years for states to subsidize high-quality child care for children ages birth through five for families earning up to $200,000. This would be the same level of financial investment as the proposal included in the Build Back Better Act. The White House estimates this funding would increase a child care option for 16 million more children while lowering costs for families. The preschool proposal would fund a federal-state partnership to provide high-quality universal preschool in a mixed delivery system for all four-year-olds and flexibility for states to expand access to three-year-olds. Together, these proposed investments are largest. So, if I'm not mistaken, I hope that they're talking about 4K because we have 3K here. I hope they're talking about 4K. Together, these proposed investments are largest any president has recommended for early learning in their budget. The president's budget continues to support military families with child care needs by prioritizing funding increases for programming notability. It further expands the community-based child care fee assistance program for families who cannot access military-operated child care due to distance or waitlist by increasing the fee assistance monthly rate caps. Individual branches have also included important investments like the Army's proposal to provide a discount on parent fees for child care workers in order to recruit and retain staff, increase entry-level staff pay at child development centers, and include funding for future child development center facilities. President Biden's budget also invests in other programs that support families. It proposes a permanent extension to the child tax credit with a temporary increase in the amount of the credit through 2025. In 2021, these advanced monthly payments for families nearly cut child poverty in half. The budget also proposes establishing a national paid family and medical leave program, giving all workers 7 annual sick days and up to 12 weeks of leave to care for newborn or family members. That's so cool. The support this budget provides would allow more families to have high quality child care options that work for them. We all hope that Congress will take up President Biden's charge and pass appropriation bills that increase funding levels for early learning providers to meet the immense need across the country. Yes, that's cool. That is so dope. I'm trying to see. There's another one that said Biden signed an executive order that aimed to make child care cheaper. But if I find it, I'll post it in my channel on Instagram at Crystal Cardone on Instagram. Join my channel. I'll post it there and you can find the link where you can find more about the child care funding. I'll also post the article from childcareaware.org so that you guys can see what I just read. And I'll also put this week's grant list there so that guys have options. So also there are, I think I spoke about this before, about the DUNS number becoming a UEI number, and I found something on Instagram that another young lady posted. And, well, I guess I can talk about that on the next one because I'll have more information about it. So I'll bring that up on the next one and we'll talk about it. But let's get into some grant FAQs. So again, I think I mentioned last episode, some grant FAQs in reference to what they're expecting. Some of them will be, and some of the questions, one of the questions that I got this week were what questions to ask when applying for grants. So for grant preparedness, 12 questions you can ask before writing is, does the project align with your mission? Because if you're applying for a grant and it doesn't apply with your mission, you'll most likely get denied. Because once they research your, if they're researching your social media and your business page and it doesn't align with what they're funding, then they will deny you. So make sure it's something that applies to you and your business and your mission. Is your not-for-profit or profit an expert in the proposed area? So I'm not going to go for a trucking grant, because I don't know, my business has nothing to do with trucking. I will go for a daycare grant. I will go for things that have, that are geared to more community-based funding. And I am not the, I feel like I'm an expert in what I've done so far. I know there's always, I'm always willing to learn more. But as far as filling out the grants and putting what I need on there, I'm an expert in that proposed area. And so I have a better chance of getting those type of grants than I feel other grants, because I don't own a trucking company. So I wouldn't be able to give relevant information on that, accurate information. Another one is, do you have strong internal relationships? Some may ask questions about your internal relationships. Who is your funder? Who are the people that you're looking to fund you? Have you looked at their mission statement and the business that they do before you accept the money from them? What are their stipulations? What are some stories you've heard about their funding? Again, do they fund your kind of program? And are you in their geographic area? That's a really big one. That probably should have been number two after, does the project align with your mission? Are you in their geographic area? Because some of the grants are, they do have areas that they provide the funding for. And if you're outside of that geographic area, you will not get the grant. So you can apply for millions and millions of grants, and as long as you're not paying attention to what geographic area they're looking to fund, we will be denied. And are you asking for the right amount? I think I went over this again in another one, so I'm not going to go too in-depth with that. But if the amount is $10,000, ask for $10,000. Don't say, oh, it's $10,000, I'll ask for four, I'll ask for two. You need to ask for the full amount. And if they give you less, then fine. But you ask for the full amount. And that concludes our grant FAQs. And that also concludes Daycare Diaries. Again, thank you all for listening. Any new listeners, any new followers on Spotify, I thank you for joining. And I will see you guys next time. Have a good one.